It's easy, isn't it? Sometimes it's easy to dismiss the needs and concerns of others when they don't affect you. It's easy for us to become blind to the needs of those that we don't see sometimes. Or it's easy for us to close our ears to the cry of those who are unable to cry out for help. Sometimes the needs of those who are disabled physically, intellectually, are set aside. Well, what about our God? Does He pay enough attention to people with disabilities? God does care. And we see that our family, as those who belong to God, cares for people with disabilities.
The following is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, reaching out with Rock Solid Hope in Rim Country, September 9th, 2018. This message is based on Mark 7, 31-37.
You know, it seems like society is putting more attention towards people with disabilities, at least more than it has in previous decades. I think we've probably noticed that when buildings were built years ago, they often had steps leading up to them and were hard to access. Now it's really rare to find a public facility that doesn't have either level ground or some sort of a ramp or a lift. And for those who have that visual impairment, you're not left out of things because the movie industry noticed and they started adding descriptive audio. That is, between all the dialogue, they describe for you what's on the screen. And although it was rare to find closed captioning in a film years past, now you can find it on almost every major film production and television series. Society seems to have noticed a little bit more, paid more attention. And you know, growing up, I never really heard of the Special Olympics. But now they're promoted more. Well, what about our God? Does He pay enough attention to people with disabilities? Well, this morning we begin a sermon series as we look at what God values and what is valued in the family of God. And we see that our family, as those who belong to God, values, cares for people with disabilities. In fact, our Father, far more so than any other. We look at Mark chapter 7 and we see Jesus as He deals with many people that were facing disabilities. In fact, if we turn to Matthew's account, we see there that during this time when Jesus was in the Decapolis, He says, many large crowds came to Jesus. The crippled, the lame, those who could not speak, the blind, and many others. And Jesus healed them. It's during this time when these large crowds of many with disabilities were coming to Jesus that Mark chooses to highlight for us one particular incident. And in this incident, Jesus deals with this man in a special way. This man, as it's described, was not able to speak clearly. The word either means he could not speak at all, or he spoke with great difficulty and spoke very poorly. And as if that wasn't struggle enough, he was deaf. And it turns that some people in the crowd, or some of his friends perhaps, brought him to Jesus, told him in either pictures or written language about Jesus, and they brought him to be healed. And with this man, Jesus takes extra time to show he does care. For him, first of all, Jesus, it says, takes him aside from the crowd. You can imagine the isolation that you feel if you lose your hearing and the struggle of coping with certain environments. Well, Jesus took him away from all that and brought him by himself, just a one-on-one. And Jesus then meets the man where he's at and uses the language he's most familiar with as he makes gestures and signs. It says that Jesus touches his ears. The message is pretty clear. God's about to do something for him with his hearing. And then Jesus spits. He touches the man's tongue. Once again, the message is pretty clear. God is going to do something about his difficulty, his inability to speak. And then so that the man might know the help he's going to receive comes from heaven, Jesus looks up, gives a deep sigh, so that the man might know God is going to heal him And then, as Jesus heals him, we see it's not the sign language, it's not the motions that Jesus went through that healed him. No, it's something Jesus makes very clear. It's the power of his word which would heal this man. And by that single word, Ephphatha, which means be opened, the man heard the word of Jesus, and his ears were opened, and the bind on his tongue was loosed, and he was able to speak plainly. And it says that the crowds, the people that were able to see this, they were amazed. It says overwhelmed with amazement at what Jesus was doing as he dealt with this man and healed him. And now this man, who, yes, he knew now that his friends cared as they brought him to Jesus, he also knew now the most important thing, that his God cares. So that every sigh, every prayer before this, every moment leading up to this moment was now answered. That question was answered with a resounding yes. God does care. He was healed. He gave him attention, one-on-one. Certainly for those that face disabilities, it's good to know someone cares. It can sometimes feel isolating when you face a disability, whatever the disability might be. At times it makes you feel different and apart from the group. You know, I've met people with loss of limb, loss of vision, loss of hearing, loss of cognitive abilities, loss of sight, all those things. I've never myself, though, dealt with a disability. Some of us can only imagine what it's like to struggle with that. There was a time where I had a cast when I broke a bone in my foot, and that was just for short term. And when I was young, I remember how lonely I felt. When I saw everyone else would go outside and play, and they could play in the sand, and they could jump in the water and swim, but I was inside by myself. Of course, that was just for a short term. Can you imagine if that's an ongoing disability, a chronic illness, or a setback which sets you apart so that others can sometimes leave you out or dismiss you? You can imagine for this man to have that gesture that someone cares made all the difference. Because it's easy, isn't it? Sometimes it's easy to dismiss the needs and concerns of others when they don't affect you. It's easy for us to become blind to the needs of those that we don't see sometimes. Or it's easy for us to close our ears to the cry of those who are unable to cry out for help. Sometimes the needs of those who are disabled physically, intellectually, are set aside. You know, there's a reason that the world in past decades didn't have as many ramps and didn't have as many closed captioning and didn't have as many accessibility options for those with disabilities. And yes, some could argue it was money. Some could argue it was because maybe there weren't as much of a need, but there always was just as much of a need. It just wasn't a concern, and it was easy to dismiss. And yes, don't be fooled by this world's improvements in serving those with disabilities. This world is actually a dismissive and dark world, concerned about its own needs, to the point where it often will overlook those with disabilities. My wife and I found this out when we went in for our last ultrasound. We've been blessed to have godly doctors with many of our children. But as we went to this ultrasound, the technician had to ask us if we were doing a test to determine if our child had Down syndrome. And of course, this test is invasive. And it doesn't really give you any medical benefit, so to speak. And yet many, when they're told they're at risk for it, have the test. And it's because, sadly, our country allows and sometimes encourages parents to make that decision to murder their child while they're still in the womb because it's still legal for them to do so. How's that for this world's care? It would rather dismiss the concern. It would rather dismiss those who are disabled and take their life than deal with them in love and care. And in other parts of this world, you can find in parts of Europe, for example, where the elderly are also treated the same when they have a disability, either mental or physical impairment, that they are euthanized. That is, a so-called good death is given them. and their life is taken. That's the darkness of this world. When it sees the challenges and it sees the disabilities that others face, it would rather be guilty of taking a life than to deal with that life and live with it. And you and I, can we really say that we don't share in some of that selfishness when you look at your own heart? That it's easy for us to turn aside from the needs of others or not be concerned about it. After all, why was it so easy for my friends to go off and play without me when I had that cast for that short while? How much more isn't it easy for those who see those with disabilities to ignore their needs or their situation? When it comes down to it, we see children on the playground. And which one is the one that is most often rejected and the one that's most often mocked or ridiculed? Isn't it the one that has some sort of something that sets them apart? Some disability. And this happens on Christian playgrounds. Should that surprise us? When we see the sinfulness and selfishness of the human heart that would not deal with such situations so that those who face disabilities can begin to wonder, does anyone care? Does my family care? Do my friends care? Or maybe you or I or those who face those challenges start to wonder, does God care? Thank God. What we see here, God does not dismiss the needs of anyone. God does not dismiss anyone at all. In the family of God, people with disabilities are dealt with and cared for and valued. In the people of God, He addresses every need. As we look and we see the prophecy fulfilled, God does care. As we look at Isaiah 35, we read earlier that prophecy where God says, "Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. He will come to save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame will leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy." God comes not only to address the sufferings of those in a sin-cursed world that face disabilities. God comes to forever deal with that issue and forever to put it aside and make everything that hinders and harms undone. He comes to heal. This was fulfilled. Your God comes as Jesus, the Son of God, came in the flesh and He spoke to that man who was deaf. In the flesh, Jesus touched him with His own hands. In the flesh, He spat, He sighed, and He was there to show with a resounding yes, God does care. And in the flesh, God came to save not just that deaf man. He came to save not just everyone with a disability. He came to save all of us. And with one single word, He healed that man, Ephatha. With another word, one word in his native tongue, as he hung on the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." And so proclaimed that the weight of every guilt and every sin is covered. And that on the cross, He made that payment for us all, including the payment for the sins when we neglected the needs of others and were only concerned about self, including the times when someone has committed even an act like abortion. Every weight of guilt and sin on the cross, finished, paid for. And our God proclaimed with one more word, peace, as He rose to life and assures us that that is complete and that we are forever freed from selfishness and sin, forever freed from guilt and the curse. And then our God will proclaim yet again as His voice speaks and with the word will call us out of our graves. Limbs working, hands working, body and mind complete and whole before our God rising to life. And then the prophecy of Isaiah, which we read, is fully fulfilled as he says, "Gladness and joy will overtake them. Sorrow and sighing will flee away." The crowd that saw that man healed, those who witnessed, says they were overwhelmed with amazement. We will be overwhelmed with amazement. And our God, who promises all this, took these hearts and minds, these eyes blinded by the darkness of sin. And this prophecy of Isaiah was in part fulfilled It's through his good news, this gospel, he opened your eyes spiritually so you would believe and trust in him. And he opened your ears to hear his word and to have that hope. And the same God who has opened you to have faith in him brought you into his family through faith. So you no longer belong to this world of darkness. You belong to the family of God. And you belong to the family of God who's also opened your eyes to speak of his love and opened your eyes and your heart to see the concern of those around you and to respond. And not just to respond by holding the door open and putting out large print service folders. No, he means to respond as the family that cares for people with disabilities. By, like Jesus, spending time with them, to meet them, just as our God met all of us where we are, to speak to us with words that we understand, and to spend time one-on-one to make that message known and to show God cares. Not just pastor, but the family of God, the people of God, one another as a family, sharing love and concern. It's a blessing as I look at what we're able to do now as the people of God with that love he has given us. And I love the fact that our church body has a ministry to those with disabilities, several. We have a mission and ministry to the visually impaired, offering the meditation audios. We have a mission and ministry to those who have trouble with hearing. We have a mission and ministry that's called Jesus Cares. Don't know if you ever heard of it, but it's a group that deals with those with intellectual disability. And we have a full-time administrator that's serving congregations so they can have resources to meet and serve the needs of those who have disabilities, including the intellectually disabled, and to give them what God has given all of us, his gospel, his hope, his love. And more than just a patronizing love, this is a love that values all those who have disabilities. This world, which would rather dismiss and destroy those with disabilities, is nothing like the family of God, which values not every person ranked on their intellect or ranked on their abilities, but ranked as someone who has a soul, precious before God. That's the value of the family of God. That's the family that you belong to in Christ. Amen.